Luke 12, verse 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night, nor near dawn, and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Thanks be to God for his word. Now, this passage offers us three things to consider. Firstly, do not be afraid. Secondly, store up heavenly treasures. And thirdly, be ready for the kingdom of God. So, don't be afraid, store up earthly treasures, and be ready for when Jesus returns. So, we heard the opening phrase, which was, do not be afraid. When God spoke to Abram, his very first words to him were, do not be afraid. Just like Mary, when the angel appeared, she was told, do not be afraid. And by the way, the theme this year at Falcon was Christmas. So we celebrated Christmas. We made Christmas stockings. We had Christmas trees. We had a roast turkey dinner. So we had all the trimmings. Abraham probably was shocked when God spoke to him. Just like Mary, Abram accepted the word of the Lord on faith. Now, a better translation of this passage could be, stop being afraid, fear no more. So we're not talking here about hypothetical fear that might occur in the future or somewhere down the line. And there isn't even warning about becoming afraid. We are talking here about the real fear that is already present. And some of our youngsters on camp are really fearful. They are fearful of the sea. They're fearful of high ropes. I don't like the high ropes. But some of our youngsters really fear these things because they've never done these things before. And we think that one of our young members, the one from Battersea, had never been to the beach before. And we also think he'd never been swimming because there are three sessions. We went to Wellington Pool twice, and then we went to this amazing open-air swimming pool at Topsham. Topsham, really beautiful place. And we think that that he'd never been swimming, and he's 13. And he had fear because he'd never experienced these situations that many of our young people have experienced throughout their young lives. You know, maybe not the high ropes, because you know you don't go to the high ropes with mum and dad every week. But many people, you know, do go swimming either with the school or with their parents or carers. So here in this passage, we're talking about real fear that is present, fear that's been with us for some time, fear that won't let us go. And it can be fear. We had two girls on camp who were physically not well. I don't know what their medical condition was. It was irrelevant. But they were fearful of hurting themselves because of their conditions. Sadly, one was in such pain that she went home. The other one stayed, and despite her fears, she blossomed. She really blossomed. And there was a hint early on about the talent show. And the talent show was arranged, I think, about half an hour before it took place. And it was truly amazing that this young girl, who was, I think, 14, got up and sang 5 songs, was it, in total? And she did the air guitar, and she was truly amazing. So despite the fear that she felt about being in pain, and there were other times where she had to rest, she got up there and she, you know, she had a go. And a lot of these other youngsters also got up there and had a go. Some sang. One did some commercial breaks because it was Britain's Got Talent. And I was so, so proud of these young people who just, you know, got up and did their thing. And that's quite amazing, because even adults, you know, can be very fearful of and out of their comfort zone of doing a little a display or, you know, a dance in front of a crowd of people. And the whole point about the camp is also to instill confidence. Yes, you can do it. If you really want to do it, you can do it. And we give you the opportunity of doing these things without being laughed at. Because there's nothing worse than trying to perform and then people sniggering, in the audience. And although we did have issues, because it's not, you know, it's not a smooth ride, they all encouraged everyone to, and as Adrian said, one girl came up and sang with her friend who was having difficulties. And that was truly amazing. And some of them had fear, and they overcame their fear, and they got up there and performed. So Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke and in this passage, stop it, stop being afraid. So what are we afraid of? A lot of girls on camp in the past have been afraid of spiders, and on one occasion, one sprayed deodorant on a spider, because she was frightened of it, near a smoke alarm. Bad thing. The alarms went off. Some of us were already half asleep. We all had to rush out the building. Do you remember that, Adrian?
I'm having good boys doing it with deodorant.
Oh, well, this was girls, yes. And so some people are fearful of spiders. I don't like wasps. We fear what we can't see. We fear what we don't know. We fear losing control of our lives and making ourselves vulnerable to someone else. And feeling vulnerable The fear of being vulnerable is quite a block. And the one of the amazing things that we do at Falcon is we do a lot of training, leader training, before we go. Now, some of us are teachers and and have considerable expertise in dealing with trauma and how to deal with behaviour. Some of us don't. You know, I have no such experience. But these training sessions are really good for those of us who don't have the experience. And one of the things that the young people that we're told, and I saw it on camp, is saying to the young people, being vulnerable in the presence of the young people, and if you've messed up, saying sorry. And if you apologize, if you've messed up, they will know that it's okay if you mess up, and if you say sorry, that's fine. And it's showing that sense of vulnerability to these young people to see that we are all God's children. We all make mistakes, and it shows our vulnerability towards them, and that's really, really important, especially for young people who, when they've messed up, they may have had a reaction at home of shout, 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 or pow, pow, pow. You know, it then perpetuates the cycle, sadly. So showing your vulnerability, saying sorry and speaking softly is a really good way of diffusing a situation, but also of making them know that we love them and that we are with them and that we are all God's children on the same level. We fear getting hurt. Again, at camp, we have a prayer time, and we always pray for safety and for our children to be safe. We did have several incidences where there were incidences about their, things going wrong. We had a leader who wasn't feeling well. So we all fear about getting hurt. And we also fear about what others might think of us, and that is particularly important with the young people that we deal with. Now, we may try and escape that fear by ignoring it or building elaborate fantasies to hide it. We may escape by drowning our sorrows, getting high, eating too much, seeking attention, even if it's negative attention. So Jesus says, stop being afraid. The second point is treasure. Now, in ancient Rome, gifts were given to create a sense of obligation for repayment or for services. And sadly, it still happens today. Donations, political donations, or in some countries, giving things and expecting things in return. And it's a way in ancient Rome, but also nowadays, sadly, climbing the social ladder, making sure others were in your debt and owed you favours. But in the kingdom of God economy, God lavishly gives away his entire kingdom to us. And when we in turn give without expecting anything in return, we participate in the kingdom and receive even more from God. And again, coming back to the issue of camp, because we haven't been on camp for 2 years, we only had two returners. And therefore, all the members that came on camp were new, well, they were all bar two, new to us. We always hope that we have them for 3 years. So providing we don't get into lockdown again, we will have some of these for 3 years. Now, some of these children will never come back to us. We will never know what happens to them. But we gift them the message. We give them the message of Jesus. But we are never likely to know. So we are sowing the seeds. But it doesn't matter if we don't know. Because one day they will remember what was said on camp. And that may affect the way that they behave or the way for their path through life. Now, I'm not saying this is a bed of roses. It isn't, because we know of some, you know, who've been to prison. We are gifting our time. We are gifting our love. We are gifting food. We're gifting entertainment and trips to the beach and bowling. As part of our love and our mission to show these young people our love. And we expect nothing in return. We participate in the kingdom and we receive even more from God. More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, you name it, more generosity. And some of these people will, you know, just... some of them said, well, you know, we had some feedback because, like every organisation, the Church Pastoral Aid Society want feedback from the members and also feedback from the leaders. We had some lovely feedback that was reported back to us at the end of when they'd left, and we had our last leaders meeting yesterday before lunch. Sounds a long time ago now. But there are some who will shrug their shoulders and say, I didn't do anything. But that doesn't matter. It's the fact that we have gifted them the word of Jesus. And your treasure in the kingdom of God, which he has already decided, it's his pleasure to give to you. So what stands at the core of the good news is not I'll give you something, you give me something back, like I scratch your back and you scratch mine, but it's God's treasure and us receiving that treasure with no strings attached. Because it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom in the first place. And the kingdom of God's active and current reign over heaven has begun on earth through Jesus' ministry and continues to the present in the here and now and tomorrow and the day after. So God has already, by saying, Jesus, I want to be your follower, God has already given us the kingdom, and we respond by carrying out the values and the standards of that kingdom. So getting rid of unnecessary possessions, giving to the poor, making purses that contain ultimate, inexhaustible, heavenly treasure. We give back with the community lunches. We give back with all the work that we do at Messy Church, at Luncheon Club. And that's the way that we can give back that treasure. Now, the final point is being ready. Since God has already given us the kingdom, we are prepared, we are called to be prepared for its fulfillment when Jesus comes again. While Jesus is certainly talking about the end of time, when he comes again in glory to reign and for there to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're thinking about all the amazing images from the book of Revelation, we should not be distracted by attempts to pinpoint that day and the hour that will happen. We mustn't be focused on that. We shouldn't be lured into twiddling our thumbs and await Jesus' return. Luke offers us the certainty that Jesus will come again, but the uncertainty of when that will be. But is it really a but? No, it's not. It's not a but. He will come again. So, instead of waiting, instead of some people calculating the date he's going to come back, we need to be faithful and alert. It's like keeping our house staged or clean and tidy for the estate agents coming to show your home to a prospective buyer. This kind of being prepared is less about being on high alert 24/7, but more about focusing on the things of God while developing our overall vision in anticipating that one day he will return. So, 3 points. Stop being afraid. Invest in the heavenly treasure of God's kingdom and be ready for Jesus to return. Amen.